Amigos, Nachos, Amigos, and welcome to Record Breakers, a music podcast where a group of friends gather together to share music with each other, an album at a time. It's like a little book club for music. Fun time had by all. Still the same old thing. I'm PD Rave. And here with me is my team, my squad, my crew, my gang, my quorum.
Gang, gang.
We've got David.
Buenos tacos, muchachos. Mr. Petey, take us out. Warp Factor 5.
Mm-hmm. We've got Drew.
Hey, folks.
Yes. And since Brett is going to be on assignment for a little bit, we have our first member of the rotating fourth chair. We have Matt.
Hi, folks. It's me again. You thought you were rid of me, but you're not.
The real fourth record breaker, everybody.
I am the permanent fifth record breaker. You just have different fourth record breakers.
Exactly.
Wait. I'm trying to figure out in the math where David and Patrick fit in all of this as far as number.
The joke is I don't.
Yes.
No, David is the fourth record breaker, and I'm the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
When Patrick was here, he was the fourth record breaker.
Exactly. We're here to talk about music. We're here to talk about an album. We're here to talk about an album that I picked out, mainly out of curiosity, but it's definitely a cool album and an interesting artist. I was influenced by checking out a Miami New Times article a while back, and I put the album by this artist on my queue, because I actually have a little doc that's like my queue of album picks that I want to bring to the show, and it was specifically about the yearly event called Global Cuba Fest, about a celebration of all aspects of Cuban music. There's a really cool Miami New Times article about this year. I think they pretty much do one every year. Kind of just promoting it and stuff. And this artist was kind of the cornerstone of the article. And I wanted to kind of like bring something that is from my culture, and from being, you know, the Cuban kid here in Miami, you know, Miami Cuban. An artist, a virtuoso jazz player, multi-talented jazz player, and his sextet. It's going to be the Daphnis Prieto sextet, and the album is Transparency. Let's talk about expectations. We'll start with David. David, what expectations did you have coming into this album?
My first thought was, is his last name Sextet? But no, seriously. This album was picked out before I started taking my medication, so my thoughts are slightly more coherent. A lot of the music that I really enjoy the most has jazz DNA inside of it, and a lot of influences from jazz. But this is some jazz. And I was expecting that, but with a good amount of groove and maybe even a little bit of danceability to it. And I think that's important with this genre. It has to have something to pull the audience in quickly beyond just musicians and music enthusiasts. It needs something to give it a little swing, because you know the old saying, it don't mean crap if the track don't slap. So I was hoping for...
Do-wah.
You know it. I was hoping for some jazz with a little bit of fun and bounce to it.
Mm-hmm. Drew, what expectations did you have coming into this album?
See, I saw the sextet bit, and I was like, okay, that could be a lot of different things. And I don't know where Petey's going with this one. And the first two tracks, my white northern ass can't fucking say. So I was hyped, to say the least, to hear this. It was something where I was like, okay, this could be either something I don't get at all, or I get way too well.
Yes, yes. Matt, what expectations did you have coming into this album?
Well, it's been a while since the last episode, which I was also on. And I was thinking, as I sit down, I was thinking, if Petey told us anything about this, which I think he may have mentioned something, I have no idea what it was, but it did have Sextet in the name. And in my limited experience, it's probably at least jazz adjacent. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much as far as I remembered. I also kind of, I think between my memory of something Petey had said and the name Deafness Prieto, I'm like, it's probably, I remembered it being kind of Cuban, but I didn't think about it a whole lot. I just jumped right in.
Yeah. Daphne Pietro is a veteran percussionist and drummer, veteran composer. He's been at a while. I thought I had his Wikipedia, but he was born in Cuba, obviously. He was born specifically in Santa Clara, which is funny because it's like literally, if you kind of divided it, the kind of the counties or the provinces, it's one city over from Placetas, which is where my mom's family is from. It's like right there in the center of Cuba. So it's a wild right there. And he's been going at this for all, just from like my research. So I was not as, when, before I looked up that article, I was not familiar with Daphne Spieto at all. This is me also exploring my connection to different genres of music and exploring and trying to discover those kind of things, especially with, I want to like dive into Miami music. I want to dive into Cuban music. And whenever I can like find something that's like in those things and like find a connection to that, I'm going to like flag it and make sure to kind of bring it up for myself and check it out. But yeah, he's a Grammy nominated, Grammy winning jazz musician, and he's got a whole team with him. He's got Johannes Weidenmüller. I don't know if that's exactly how you say it, but I'm gonna go with that. Johannes Weidenmüller, Roman Filiu, Dr. Spirito himself, Alex Brown, Peter Apfelbaum, and Alex Norris is the sextet there. And yeah, this album musically, it is a lot of things. It is at its core very jazzy. He brings in a lot of the Cuban jazz styles, Cuban jazz feel to it. It can feel a little heady. It is a showcase of talent in many ways. But it can be very enjoyable. It definitely early on, you can feel a lot of those Cuban influences definitely early on, and then you feel like a lot of the mixes of styles. And I think one of the things I was excited about with like sharing this is trying to get the thoughts of the actual musicians, just your perspective. But it is just,
I mean, I can just go.
Yeah.
I'll just go.
No, stay.
No, stay. I don't want to be alone.
You listen to enough prog, you're music adjacent. You're musician adjacent. It's fine. Exactly. That's how it works.
I'll take it.
Send you an ukulele or something. Christmas is coming up.
Close enough. Yeah, and does a lot of those things where you get these songs that are 6-7 minutes long, and a lot of the different musicians get their chance to shine, but in different parts, and it's constructed really well, and it is a lot of those different genres. I'll go to you guys. David, how would you describe this album musically?
It is uncompromisingly jazz. These are musicians that are very much playing for themselves, almost to a fault. That is what I would say, first of all. It is high-level jazz musicianship, almost to a fault. There's a lot of really high-level, high-quality playing led by Daphnis Prieto, who is a fantastic drummer. And I feel like if you can appreciate what everybody is doing and you can find bits and pieces and moments throughout this entire album to really that'll really click for you, this will be a fun listen. But there is a lot of playing and maybe not so much songwriting, but there's a lot of really solid playing. There's a lot of really outstanding musicianship.
Mm-hmm. Drew, how would you describe this album musically?
One, I guess I wasn't paying attention much when I first put it on because it was not what I was expecting at all. besides it being something jazzy, with some horns in it. But David said it well. The musicianship in this is insane. I mean, when you have a drummer that has taught at two different universities, and bringing together music like this and being a band leader, you're going to get that. It is dense. It is a dense record as far as just playing goes. All that while still, like, there are some, like, danceable rhythms in here, which is fun. Like, you get that groove to it, which I think is great. You never lose, like Petey was saying, there's guys from Cuba, and you don't really lose that through the record, even though there's a lot of other stuff going around it. You can still tell he trains in like an Afro-Cuban milieu for quite some time. I believe I saw that it was before he went to jazz, it was classical and Afro-Cuban, which listening to the drums makes a hell of a lot of sense. And it's every second of his drum work kills. That's before you get to the insane piano licks, the great sax work, the bass that just grooves the entire time. It's what I think jazz like does really well, which is there's bits of it's all jazz, but there's bits and pieces of the world throughout, which I think jazz does a really good job of showcasing. And when it can.
Mm-hmm. Matt, how would you describe this album musically?
Something that really struck me was how full it sounded. Like sometimes it sounded almost like more like a big band than just a sextet. I don't know if that was some clever overdubbing or if they were, you know, just that good and the harmonies just kind of made it sound like that. This is definitely what I refer to as capital J jazz. You know, there's definitely, you know, the Afro-Cuban beats that still kind of melt my brain, and I hope to someday better understand and not get lost when playing them. Something else I noticed is that there were several songs throughout the album that almost like it was one track, but it sounded like it was two different songs and they just kind of went from one into the other. Like they were fairly unrelated and didn't really go back to what they were playing at the beginning. I can't say, you know, whether that's good or bad or indifferent. It was a little odd, though, to me. Mm-hmm. Well, these are both really good concepts. We can separate these out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a lot of really. I found most of it extremely listenable, which I whenever I say listenable, I realize it sounds a lot more putting it down than I mean for it to be. But most of it I really liked. There were definitely points throughout the album that it's like, okay, this is where we're at.
This is some jazz.
Jazz is very academic. Jazz at times can be great and also not listenable.
Yeah. Like, okay, we're getting into Charlie Parker territory.
Ooh, good cut. Wow. Good reference.
Yes.
I was going to say, that's a reference for people who understand when jazz can be unlistenable. Well played.
There was a great line in the middle of this last episode of Critical Role. It was just D&D show in a fantasy world. Where the Fern, the Feywild fawn creature played by Ashley Johnson, she says, she's speaking to a dead person, it's like, I know you didn't like jazz, but you know, jazz is chaos, and like, I hope we can appreciate the chaotic world. It is pretty academic and it is pretty heady. But yeah, well, let's talk about tracks. Let's talk about key tracks. And it was hard for me to really like pick out, say, this track, because there's a lot of more, like, there's a lot of moments, and there's a lot of like moments within tracks that you kind of like latch onto. But I would say the thing I would just focus on is basically like the beginning of the album, essentially, which is like Amanecer Contigo, Waking Up With You. Our awakening with you. Amanecer Contigo, it rings the Cuban influences early, I would say, really well, in multiple ways, not just the percussion. I think that the horns in particular sound nicely, you know, Cubanish in a really fun way, and it brings that together. No es fácil. It ain't easy.
It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. Taint easy. Slows things down effectively. Kind of like, you know, brings things to the pace down. And eases back on, oddly enough, on things. And then uncertain tradition. Which is, I think that's what you say. Uncertain tradition. Does things really well. It starts with a really nice like percussion introduction that really kind of like builds things really well, and it kind of goes into a really dope song. Yeah, let's talk what you guys thought. David, what would be some of the key tracks for you, or key moments if it's more like that?
Amanecer Contigo, the piano really starts to go in at about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. And it really sounds like they were having fun with this when it really starts to kick in. And I hope they were, because it sounded like they were having fun. Track three, the previously mentioned Uncertain Tradition. This track is really carried by Prieto's drumming. Around 3 minutes in, he finds a groove. But before that, the track is, once again, really fun. But at about the three-minute mark is where the groove comes in. Track six, On the Way, for me. It takes a while to take shape and take form. It takes a while to get there. It is 6.5 minutes. But when it gets there, it
one almost... One of the shorter tracks.
True. But in a weird way, listening to this track, it was almost like what I was hoping for from the whole of this album, where you heard all of the pieces of the band coming together to form a jazz Voltron. And the track ends with a really strong groove, and it really felt like this was the track on the album where everything really kind of came together.
Drew, what would be some of the key tracks or moments for you?
I'm gonna try to say it. The first track, Amanecer Contigo. Like I said, I'm from the north and very white. The horns are spot on. The groove is there. And then, like David said, about 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 20 seconds in, the piano just starts going. And they're like, all right, we're going to... All right, everybody hold back. Wait. Let them go. And then everybody else jumped in on it. And like, nah, we're just going to party. And like... Having been part of, like, groups of musicians that were doing that but not being recorded, I hope it sort of happened like that, because it's a fun thing. Feed the Lions? Like, the beat at times is like a jazzed-up hip-hop beat, which is cool. Like, and then having, like, the sweep up of the horns, I think is really... was really cool. It sounded... really neat, and I think this would be the one that, like, if people, if you're showing this to somebody who doesn't get into jazz, I think Feed the Lions might be the way in. Either that or Lazy Blues. Lazy Blues, the legato nature of everything, that pull forward, it creates that lazy feel, and I think that's really cool.
Matt, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
The first track, Amanecer Contigo. This was a great first track. It just kind of, to me, it set the stage well. You know, the piano, like, it gets going a little bit, and then the horns come in super smooth, nice rhythm, just... And it just kind of puts me at ease, like, okay, this is getting me excited within the first, like, 20 seconds. I'm in for this album. No Es Fácil is a great example of a mic'd upright bass, acoustic bass, going back to that previous discussion, just...
upright bass.
Beautiful, like... Not only a beautiful sound coming from the bass, but also just the room. It's just perfect. Cry With Me is one of the ones that got a little too capital J jazz for me. I kind of... That and the previous one, Con Alma. Those were a couple that I started to, you know, maybe skip past after... a few listens. On the Way is probably one of my favorites on this album. Just the way it starts out pretty relaxed, and then it kind of quickly loses all chill, and it just it's going. It's going, and it's not going to stop. It also helps that it's an up-tempo song in a minor key, and I think whether conscious or subconscious, I think I tend to like those. And just kind of an interesting chord progression that they're soloing over. And then the last 30 seconds on that track just really make it for me. Just because it... On the one hand, it is one of those things where it just... Okay, we're going to go into this rhythm and this groove that has nothing to do with everything else we've played. But it's still really cool. And I really like that they ended it that way. Lazy Blues, it's a perfectly good blues, which I assume is kind of the point. I almost imagine, like, okay guys, we're doing a jazz album, we need to have at least one blues song. Okay, we'll make it a good one, don't worry, it's really good. But it's It's a little different from everything else on the album, for better or for worse. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's very well executed.
Yes, yes. Yeah, let's bring it back around the horn and talk about some conclusive thoughts. David, what will be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
I said at the top that there is a lot of music that I really, really like that has a lot of jazz influence and jazz philosophy. Really high-level musicianship, really playing and knowing what you're playing and knowing what's going on around you. And I do have an appreciation for jazz. I gave this album about 4 full listens. And it ended up really just being a background album for me, because as much as I really tried to give every track a real intent listen, there were times where I really felt like I was just not being held enough. This is a jazz album. And at times it kind of lost me. I can imagine how some people feel when they listen to my favorite band in the world, Dream Theater, listening to this album. I get that. There's a lot of really good playing, but the songs were hard to find. The moments were buried deep. And most of the time, I felt myself drifting off a little bit. None of the tracks really held me. There's a lot of really good playing, but given that it was a jazz album, I was expecting a little bit more playing together. And for me, there wasn't a lot of that. There was a lot of everyone kind of being allowed to do their own thing, which is cool and is expected with a jazz album, but a lot of times they did not come back together, and I was waiting for that, and a lot of times it didn't happen. Prieto himself is an exceptional drummer. He's phenomenal, and the musicians around him are all really good, but for me, it just doesn't really come together the way I had hoped, especially given that this is a drumming-centric album. He's playing, but for me, it just felt like they were not playing around him. You have bands, tracks, albums where the drummer is the focus, and everything is really super tight, and everybody really knows what the other person next to them and everyone in the room is doing. And I did not get that from this album. I didn't get any kind of tight playing or playing together from it. It was a great listen if you're really into jazz musicians playing, but the songs themselves, for me, were just a little too loosely put together.
Understandable. Drew, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
Well, it's weird. The jazz always sort of ends up being, like David said, a background sort of thing for me. Because it's just sort of playing as, and like when something hits really well, I take notice and then let myself fall back into whatever I was doing. I always found myself sort of grooving to it in the background, and then like the piano would do something, or the bass would come in or something, and I'd be like, oh yeah, like that's great. I think this does, like I said, those mixes, that fusion of things very, very well. I think it's very, like, smart playing from a lot of them. But at times, it did feel a little academic. It did feel a little like, oh, okay, they're doing this to, like, point out, like, this weird time signature change that they're doing or whatever. So it's some of that, but also he's a teacher, so I'm not surprised. this at times I could see myself being like, oh geez, my jazz teacher in university is bringing on his albums again. Like the teacher his makes friend. You buy their book. He makes you buy his albums. Because of his the thing he
show
did.
That is that the like the thing. Just like listen to that thing.
Yeah, but even saying
I mean,
that, it was,
I'd kind of be
good.
Into
it was
that.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not something to be into. If you're going to university and taking a jazz course, I'm sure you're fine with it. But like, I could kind of tell, like, oh, okay, like he's doing a thing because he knows he can and he understands the theory behind it, and not necessarily because that was the perfect thing to put there. If that makes sense. Not that I didn't like it. There's a time and place for that sort of stuff, and this does that stuff well, I think. I wouldn't necessarily turn around and say, like, hey, person who casually likes music, listen to this record. But, like, when you're taking, like, a deep dive like we tend to, like, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
Like I said, it's definitely a lot of what I call capital J jazz. And this is something that I've kind of gone back and forth on, because sometimes it goes too far for my taste, but I also enjoyed Sextet of Orchestra USA, which is just silly, so I can't really... I have yet to explain why that was not too far, and this was, when clearly, if you haven't listened to that album... go listen to it and you will understand why I don't understand. You know, I also listened to this one while I was working, and it similarly did end up as mostly background music for me, with moments that it would just pull me out, like, oh wow, that's really cool. On the way, actually, probably did this the most. You know, despite being a musician, I tend to, when I listen to music, I'm not really in analyzing mode. I'm not in analytical mode. I tend to let the music just kind of wash over me, unless I'm specifically sitting down to analyze it for, you know, whether it's just figuring out the chords or whatever. Yeah. So I do think that there is, if I sat down and listened with, like, an analytical mode, there would be a whole lot to learn from this and find interesting. Prieto does have a book called Rhythmic Synchronicity, a rhythm course for non-drummers, which has my attention.
Yeah.
Which it's only $15 for the digital version or the paperback. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking about that. I would definitely buy the album for $2 though. That's a definite for me.
Yes.
I just realized I would feel a seal of approval.
I was muted when I was trying to say a book about rhythm for people who aren't drummers seems like I need to buy that for my father for Christmas, because he's a guitar player with horrible rhythm.
Oh, no.
His guitar teacher was able to pick out the neighborhood he lived in by how bad his rhythm was, because the nickname for Cuyahoga Falls back in the day was a different C word, Caucasian Falls. He was like, yikes. Oh, you're really good. Can you just play this rhythm with these notes? And he tried and couldn't hit he could hit the notes, but not the rhythms. He's like, so you can like solo and lead, but you can't rhythm? Do you live in the falls?
Oh my yikes.
God. Told my dad to get black friends. I was like, God damn yikes. It.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is amazing.
It's like Rocky III all over again.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Love it. I need to, seriously. I'm going to get that for my mom for Christmas. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm so grateful I was born Cuban. Yeah. Conclusive thoughts. It's very heady. It's very heady. It is enjoyable, but it's very heady. It's very academic. It can feel like homework, especially if you're not super into jazz. I would I would find it hard to use this album as a convert album. You know, like, yeah, let me convert you to jazz using this.
Yeah.
Probably not. This is mostly
please,
like,
please,
hey,
see the previous album for a good version of those.
Yeah. And I would probably just start with salsa music and then work from there. If anything, if I'm doing Cuban music, like Celia Cruz, which I've done a couple of times. But yeah, this is enjoyable. If you want to, like, either have really fun, a really nice background jazz music with a Cuban coloring throughout, it is nice. It's well made. It is well performed. It does have the flaws that were aforementioned. If you want to kind of look at it, or like qualifications, the aforementioned qualifications, and it's gonna be, you know, probably not gonna be like a for the casuals, but I think it's enjoyable, and even if it does feel like homework, it's good homework, and it's not gonna hurt you. And we've had a lot worse music on this show. But I think it's a really good album that is, if that is the same person going back and forth, I'm gonna be really pissed. just driving back and forth in this neighborhood.
It's Daphne's Prieto.
Yell, yeah. Open your window and yell, yo, we're recording a podcast here.
Exactly. Put the recording light on. Yeah, it is definitely worth a try, worth a listen. You would be forgiven if it's a little much for you, but at least I would say give it a shot, give it a try, kind of like see if it piques your interest.
Side note: I sent this guy to Jake, the drummer for the Mulligans, and I was like, wait, who is this guy? Figuring. Oh, it's a jazz drummer. Jake knows this guy. And Jake was like, I've never heard of this dude. What's going on? Looked up one YouTube video and then proceeded to listen to the entire album. But that guy's favorite drummer is also Buddy Rich. Yeah. So it might tell you something about his musical proclivities.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are our thoughts on Daphne Prieto's Sextet's Transparency. Now we're going to get to the main event of the evening. The moment we've all been waiting for, the moment you've all been waiting for, the haiku reviews, where we sum it all up in poetic form, 575, our classic bit, it's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Let's get down to it. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Haiku numero uno. David, what is your haiku?
My haiku. I don't find the groove well played, but not well composed. It did not grab me.
Drew, what is your haiku?
Realizing that I closed the wrong window is what my haiku is. Wonderful drum jazz as we come back to podcast. Good way to come back.
Matt, what is your haiku?
Capital J jazz, great Afro-Cuban rhythms, lots to learn from this.
we have a naked cat. My haiku.
Hey, TOS.
Purring on us.
Unshaved pussy, if you will.
Exactly. Academic jazz, Cuban influence throughout, well worth the study. All right, and those are our thoughts on Transparency, the album by Daphne Prieto Sextet. You can, of course, check it out on our Spotify playlist. Both of them are still there. They're still linked in our show notes at recordbreakerspodcast.com. Under each episode, you can find the links to the playlists, both with and without the episodes strewn in. Follow along in home, do your due diligence and your due diligence. Check out those albums. On that Spotify playlist will also be next week's record, and it'll be provided by David. David, what have you got for us next week?
Next week on the Record Breakers podcast, the folks here give me way too much credit. I'm not a musician. But if I were, I would be a keyboard player and a synthesist. And the keyboard and synth sound that has always stuck with me the most, along with the Hammond B3, is the Moog synthesizer. And thanks to the upcoming Star One album from Ari and Anthony Lucassen, I was able to find a new keyboard player and synth player that has really caught my attention and really inspired me as someone who has an affinity for analog and digital synths. So I'm going to be bringing the August 2021 release from keyboardist and synthesist Lisa Belladonna and her album Moogmentum.
Ooh.
Nice. Moogmentum. Get your Moogmentum. We're going to have Moogmentum heading into next week, but that'll be next week, and this is this week, and you can, of course, find us all over the internet. Let me actually play the outro because I didn't play the intro. You can find us all over the internet. David is at Call Me DJM. Drew is at Extrusive Rex. Matt is at Emmerdick W. I'm at PD Rave. The show's at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. RecordBreakersPodcast.com. RecordBreakersPodcast@gmail.com. Rebelli.net for this and other shows. Rebelli TV on YouTube and on Twitch. You can get down with us and follow us on both. Catch us live. We're working on schedules and things like that. Resetting some shows and figuring out schedules for other shows. But we'll have fairly
regular
shows.
It's my fault.
It's my fault too. And we're getting things ready, but there'll be streams most of the days, hopefully, once I get my schedule as well, because I'll try to have some, like, even I've started even doing afternoon streams, like I did unpacking, which was fun. But yeah, be sure to follow the channels there. Check out Rebelli TV. Like, share, subscribe to the YouTube. Do all the things. Give us shout outs, give us reviews, all the things. Until next time. Hasta los huevos.
Toodaloo.
Hashtag find Luke.
Rebelli podcast, baby.
I'm so confused. Brad, I miss you.
Fighting.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.